welcome to another episode of The Lava Pool. I'm your host, Sam, Dr. Vijay Arisma. It is 2016. It is like deer season has officially opened. We're going in. And our intro topic this week, which, yes, we can request intro topics now, comes from Killer Orcas. He asks, what kind of sandwich would the primals make? And I'm going to expand this to any restricted Pokemon, and I don't know if he means make as in what would they order, or make as in if you made them a sandwich, what would they turn into. And I'm going to say Zekrom orders and Ho-Oh turns into a grilled chicken mango habanero sandwich. Joining me today, first off, we have Gabby.
Hello.
JTK.
I'm here, I think.
All right. What kind of sandwich would a restricted Pokemon make?
When I read this question, I got this image of a really sad Kyogre, like, trying to make a sandwich, but first of all, he doesn't really have hands, so there's just, like, a lot of, like, bread and ham and lettuce and everything thrown everywhere. And then it just gets all wet because of the whole rain thing. And then Kyogre's just really sad because he doesn't have a sandwich. And even if he did have a sandwich, it would be just a really sad sandwich.
Why wouldn't you just say French dip?
Because that's what my brain came up with.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Also joining us, returning from two episodes ago, we have Toler, Dim. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you for waiting to speak this time.
Not doing it was painful.
Now the question, what kind of sandwich would a restricted Pokemon make?
So, being a pescatarian myself, I'm going to refrain from jumping into the classic ham or turkey sandwiches that might better befit a Pokemon. And I'm going to stick onto the primal route here. I would say Groudon. Primal Groudon would probably attempt to make a sandwich. He has these really large hands. It would be a big sandwich. You attempt to make a very large sandwich with fruit on it of some variety, and then over the course of that sandwich's composition, all of the fruit would dry out, and he would just have a dried fruit sandwich. So he would probably end up with a bunch of dry banana chips and maybe some dried out peanut butter, which would really just be a solid block of peanut butter, and that would suffice for any sort of center to the sandwich. So I would say a dried peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Okay. So Groudon is the Elvis of the primals, is what you're saying. Okay.
And it's me, too.
All right. Our last guest today, welcome back. It's probably been about 2 years since he's been on the show. We have Oliver Smith. You may know him as. How are you doing, sir?
What's up?
All right. What kind of sandwich would a restricted Pokemon make?
Okay. I have a variety of thoughts on this topic that I'm going to attempt to integrate into a single idea. My initial thought was that Primal Kyogre would make a submarine sandwich. And that, to me, is probably where I should have stopped. But then I got to thinking, wait a second.
That's good.
Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre.
I'm just going to edit all of that out and cut you off after you said submarine.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. No. Good analysis.
Anyway, this is a VGC podcast.
Oh, we aren't doing the physics episode?
Darn. Keep your sandwich talk about actual sandwiches and not, I don't know what a sandwich is, so I guess fish. That's no. All right. News. We'll just jump into it. First thing on our list, they have reconfirmed the rules. Basically, everything we talked about the last couple weeks is the same. Dark Void is still legal. Suck it, everyone.
Hashtag save Dark Void 2016.
Yeah.
Hashtag all natural.
I still don't understand the hate for Dark Void.
I mean, I understand this now because I feel like I've been playing enough on Low Ladder Showdown where I understand what Dark Void is in this metagame. So
it's easier to play against than it is to play with.
It is, but if you think about it, the strongest Pokemon in the metagame that aren't named Rayquaza have to hold, like, you know, a certain item in order to unlock their potential. Meaning, unless there's something else on the team that can stop Dark Void, that you can't stop Dark Void, which basically means, yes, if you play well, this isn't an issue, but a lot of people, I think, just get frustrated that their creativity is quote-unquote limited because now they have to ensure that they carry something that can stop Dark Void.
It is the opposite of limited.
I mean,
they actually have to use it and not just do autopilot teams.
One of the things that tends to happen with metagames is certain things are better than other things and certain things beat other things. So I think with or without Dark Void, there would be something that would be annoying and very restrictive towards team construction that would arise. Like, Dark Void is one thing, but you can't get rid of all the parts of Pokemon that make it a metagame generating game.
Yeah, right? You can. You just call yourself Smogon.
No, that's not how Smogon works. Smogon still develops the metagame, but there are certain things that are like more oppressive than others. Like, it's a little annoying to play against Bright Powder in my I like Smogon for what it is. But like the only way to get rid of all meta defining forces is to ban everything, which doesn't happen for a good reason. We wouldn't have a game. But even with a game of like 10 Pokemon, we would still have a metagame that changed constantly or semi-constantly over a slow period of time, because there's no way to get rid of all the limiting factors in the game, because that's how the game works.
Yeah, 2011 was a fantastic example of that.
Yeah.
The early metagame looked absolutely nothing like the end metagame, even though we only had, like, 60 legal Pokemon, and people thought only about 12 of them were good, and it was like 40 of them were good. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I really like 2011.
That's strange. You're a new breed.
I like 2011 better than I like 2015. Say that
before.
Are you?
I mean, I also enjoyed 2011, but part of that was the fact that that was the first time I actually kind of technically top cut something, but really didn't. But I almost made it to Worlds. It was the LCQ.
I remember distinctly losing in round 3 of Virginia Regionals to Talon. And going home and sleeping. I did not do well that year.
Oh, yeah, that was still when things were single elimination, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so like that part of 2011 was horrible, but the rest of it was okay. The metagame was
the great. Metagame. The metagame was great.
Yeah, I think that's a good example of what happens when we ban a lot of things. A Dark Void is annoying, but in the end you're always going to be answering to something, and leaving the game as is makes it a lot more possible to keep the game strategically complex.
I'll be honest, like, I think in regards to Dark Void specifically, I agree that probably banning the move outright is a bad idea, but I think it should be nerfed somehow. Like, even if it just went down a few accuracy points.
Okay, I've got an idea. What if they put it on a Pokemon that had no offensive capabilities?
Oh, and had a relatively slow base speed and didn't have any defenses.
And, like, zero defenses.
Right. But what if didn't they only have put it on the that? Ability Moody.
But yeah, okay.
That would be.
I'll give it. Yeah, that would be great. But most people haven't been running Moody. They've been running own tempo.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's just bad. I think you have to run Moody. Moody's so good.
Oh, it's
Moody
disgusting.
Is so good, except for when it's so not.
Yeah.
Well, here's, I mean, in Pokemon, there's no like guaranteed goodness, so you have to be happy with like your. Like, sixth chance to sharply boost your evasion for doing nothing.
I know in the last year, every time I played against Smeargle in tournament, it's gotten an evasion boost within the first two turns, and that's been pretty rough to deal with. But at the same time, that means that my salt is fueled by personal experience for Moody, which probably means it's not too accurate. I mean, it's just part of the game, I guess.
It is a part of the game, but I think why so many people get frustrated with it is just the fact that it turns the game from being something that, I mean, yes, it still is strategic. You have to be strategic about how you get around, you know, Moody and Dark Void, but it just adds so many more dice rolls to the equation.
I think part of it is that Moody is more non-interactive, whereas Dark Void is more interactive, right? Like, Dark Void, you can, like, build your team to stop, but Moody, you have to run a fast Pokemon with Gastro Acid and hope that after the first spiky shield, it doesn't get an evasion boost. Right? Like, to me, that seems... Or a speed boost. To me, if you don't have Lumberry, to me, that seems frustrating. Like, interactivity in strategic games is important.
I think, in general, this whole debate about Smeargle in Dark Void stuff is... people, like, have this attitude that they only want to play the game in like a clean, like tidy, like fully player versus player way.
That's a different game.
Yeah, right. And Pokemon is not the game for you, my friend, if you like doing that. Like, this is a game where we have scramble situations. We have situations where you freaking swagger the Landorus. Like, you run away with the crest and you, like, cross your fingers.
Nothing you can do.
You double rock slide and you're like, oh, please. I mean, this is just that kind of game. And, like, if you refuse to play it that way, you will lose a lot and you will be bad.
Yeah. Yep. You have to play the situations that are going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, and if... Like, I don't know. And you can't run away from it. Like, Smeargle isn't the only instance of this. Like, Thundurus is horrible for that. Landorus is horrible like that.
Taunt never missed. That would be a great way to deal with it.
I just think Smeargle teams are kind of fun to play against because you have to think in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, when do you want to get put to sleep if you don't have a hard counter for it? Like, if it has transform, what do you want to have out when it transforms?
Right. Switch, predict the transform.
I think people refuse to have fun when they play against Smeargle. They say, like, they only want to have, like, a completely autopilot, like, way to shut it down. And they refuse to recognize that you still have to interact with it, just like you, Kangaskhan, who's...
Right.
Yes.
The other team is giving up a slot to run Smeargle. So you're respecting the fact that they're sort of running three Pokemon that can deal damage, and one of them just can't. Whereas exactly. with something like Cress, at least it can still use Psychic.
Right.
I mean,
that's kind of interesting.
Sort of. Or Ice Beam. Ice Beam is a big deal.
Yeah, but that's interesting because you see a lot of people running now, like Crobat, Whimsicott, like all of these Pokemon that just don't do damage. I mean, Crobat gets
Super Fang. Well, Crobat is Super Fang.
But it can't KO anything with it.
Literally. It's impossible.
Yeah, it's mathematically impossible.
Do people not run Brave Bird or...
Well,
anything
it
else
seems
on
sort of
Crobat?
Pointless when Super Fang is going to be stronger on all relevant targets.
And you can invest more in bulk if you run Super Fang.
Or speed.
Or speed.
To beat other Crobats.
Okay, so the last time I ran Crobat, which, again, was probably the only time I ran Crobat.
Really?
I had kind of bulk, but it was mostly fast and it had Brave Bird.
Yeah, I mean, I ran a Brave Bird in 2015.
I should have had Super Fang instead of Screech, but I was testing Screech.
Hey, Screech is cool.
It basically does the same thing as Super Fang, as long as you hit the thing the same turn with a different Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, or if as long as Super Fang hits. I've had a lot of Super Fang hits.
They have the same accuracy. Screech is not 100%.
Ah, okay.
I had a feeling. If you of all people said that Super Fang was better than Screech, then they have the same accuracy. Yeah, well, that's that, I guess, with Smeargle and Crobat and all that jazz.
Which was, that was us just talking about the rules that are reconfirmed.
Right. Like, no new news. That was a conversation about no news. That was a conversation about what we already knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no real news since the last episode, so...
We've had some PCs.
We have some gossip.
Let's start with the gossip.
Right.
Because I think the PC are going to... go into the metagame more
So I heard through the grapevine, through a friend of a friend
the
in the grapevine.
The very long grapevine.
Right. It's an extensive grapevine with many different grapes and many mysteries therein. From this grapevine, I gleaned the knowledge, and by knowledge,
what if you've never heard of grapes before, because you're so old?
Right, that's true. You could come from a place...
Right, where did you get this information?
From a little
bird.
That's
true. Right. And this brings us to the question of what even is knowledge? But...
This is my territory, Oliver. Let's stay out of that.
Setting that aside for just a moment.
This is not knowledge. This is rumors.
We have a rumor of a rumor that we may not have Indianapolis U.S. Nationals this year.
I would be okay with that.
So
I think most people would be super duper okay with that.
I have some questions about this before we go into discussing it. Was an alternative location suggested
proposed?
Or rumored or what have you?
I heard the name Milwaukee.
What?
What?
Colin Hire's hometown.
I heard Milwaukee was courted for the role.
Okay, follow-up question. Do they have Steak and Shake in Milwaukee?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm
I
fine
believe
with
they
it.
Do.
It's also highly segregated, but that's beside the point.
Oh, God. Not
Milwaukee is the most highly segregated city
I could still
city
fly
in
into Chicago and drive, so I'm okay with this.
I mean,
I could just fly to Colin's house.
I spoke to, I don't know, some TO or some person who was working at Nats a few years back, And he was telling me that the reason why they have it in Indy every year is because it's literally smack dab in the middle of the U.S. Well, not literally. It's actually not. But it's a central location. Or
right.
Yeah.
Enough.
But there are many central locations.
They should just have it in Chicago because everybody has to fly through there anyway.
Yeah, but well, that would be expensive. Money.
Yeah, then they need Chicago's to pay for Chicago.
We were hyping up, I mean, obviously it'd be selfish for me, but we were hyping up, I think a Dallas Nationals would be pretty sick. Because it's
That's oh, far wow. from other places in Texas, Oliver.
I know, but I'm just saying it's accessible. It's a hub for two different airlines.
And it is. Yeah. I've had like four layovers there in the last like 2 months.
So. The only problem is that there's truly no public transportation.
It's warm. It's actually really warm.
It's extremely warm. I'd go as far as to say it's hot.
And there's Steak and Shake.
Oh, hot. Oh my god.
Well, not only is there Steak and Shake, there's Whataburger. There's Chick-fil-A, who is now divested of their anti-homosexual causes and is now a reasonable corporation in 2016. So you can eat there.
We can eat Whataburger.
Are they open on Sundays? Because I only ever try and go to one when... Yeah,
they're not.
No, they're still not open on Sundays.
They're still not.
Okay, so I will...
Inch at a time.
Maybe we should just have Nationals in North Carolina. I mean...
How about Nationals in Japan? In Seattle? Then, like, Pokemon doesn't even have to move their stuff. They can just drive over the bridge.
They should have Worlds in Seattle.
I wish.
I don't know why. I love Seattle so much after going to visit there. Thank you for hosting, by the way, Gabby. But it was a really stunning place.
Seattle's dope.
Visually, really, to me. And weather-wise at the time. I'm sure it's cold and rainy at other times of the year. But
it actually hasn't been that bad this year.
Except for the last 2 days.
But it's been sunny. It's just been really cold.
Not when I've been outside.
We've been dark and rainy for the most of the time. So where we were.
As the sudden gravity falls, the Pacific Northwest is somehow very magical in America.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's accurate. But yeah, I would say so. Anyways, back to the whole Milwaukee thing. I, for one, would be really happy if they moved Nationals. Just because, like, there was that whole thing last year about Indianapolis not really being a friendly place if you're, you know, homosexual or transgender or not
desiring safety of any kind.
Yeah, that too. So
yeah,
I mean, it would be weird not to go back, because I mean, at this point, I guess it's specific to older players, but having gone for Nationals and walked through those hallways 4 years in a row,
it's
and just
more
like
than that.
having felt that convention center, it's, if it moves, it's gonna be weird.
It will be weird. I agree, but I'm happy. I'm in. Let's do it. I'm ready for change.
Change is scary, but we can do it.
Yes.
I mean, by the time you're inside the convention center, like, they all look the same. You're in some room that has concrete floor and really tall ceilings, and it's like 60 degrees.
Oh, but nobody knows what the good hotels are now.
Right, we have to go through that whole scramble again.
And everybody would get stuck in Milwaukee's version of the train hotel.
Oh my god.
The dreaded train hotel.
No, the train hotel.
I didn't think the train hotel was that bad.
Yeah, I actually liked it, but
I just wish I could have actually stayed inside the train hotel. Maybe next year. Oh, well, maybe never.
Isn't that expensive?
Yeah.
The Marriott was so good, though.
Love the Marriott.
They have a bar at the top that like spins around, and you get a okay view of the city. They built taller buildings around it, so it's not a great view anymore, but it's still all right.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch fireworks there. It's kind of expensive though.
Hey, New Year's Day or not New Year's Day? July 4th fireworks at Nationals is a pretty stellar experience.
I don't think I've seen them once.
I had a really cool experience last year because we were leaving or like sitting outside as the like finale was going off, and Brendan Zhang was like walking away from all of it going, he's like, I thought it was going to be better, and he just looked so over it with all these explosions happening behind him as he walked past. It was the
cool guys thing. Don't look at explosions.
That's
I mean, Brendan Zhang is the coolest guy in the VGC community. He's a celebrity.
He's a celeb. He was born into stardom.
Very true.
He's like the royal family.
He's the Paris Hilton of this community.
Yeah.
Born to the Zhang dynasty.
We'll give it to him. You mean Paris Hilton and BGC?
Does that make him the Poodle Master?
So I wish you wouldn't sing.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. All right, PCs started up with a metagame like yesterday.
Indeed.
Yesterday, today.
Yes. Yes. Indeed.
Whenever you're listening to this, probably last week.
Right.
Did any of you see any of the streams?
Or... I was at the PC. Right.
You went to one. On the first. You can talk.
Yes.
You can talk.
I can.
What was there?
I went through. I went 3-1 and I didn't cut, so that's a classic PC experience. But one of my wins was a bye, and one of my wins was against bodying Ian, even though I didn't deserve it, so I'm okay with it.
How many people showed up if you had four rounds and didn't cut?
I think we had 15, which sucked. Yeah. The metagame of that premier challenge was pretty crazy. I'll tell you this much. If I asked you to name 10 players in Texas, none of them cut. Our top cut was LP Fan, who is like strong in and of himself, Evan Bates, and then Max Simon and Paul Brer, who are two kind of like local players. You probably don't know them unless you're from Texas.
Paul's a cool guy.
Paul stayed with me for Seattle region.
Yeah, Paul's nice. I'm saying if you're like an average listener, you probably don't know Paul. But
true.
That's true. But like, you know, Blake didn't cut, I didn't cut, Ben didn't go, Cedric didn't cut, Ian didn't cut, Cam's didn't enter. But yeah, it was a weird tournament, to say the least. Every game took like 5 turns, like the rounds were going like 1 every 10 minutes, because it's 2016.
Yeah, metagame's fresh.
It's because I'm not playing yet.
Right.
You're about to bring the stalliest of stalls.
I actually got into a stall game on Showdown the other day.
Oh my god.
It was...
Was it Ferrothorn stuff?
Actually, I can tell this story later if you want to keep talking about the PC.
Yeah, let's keep going on the PC. So,
I mean, I don't have that much insight.
Well, what were they running?
Well,
top cut.
My round one opponent was Blake Hopper. He had Infernape, Rayquaza, Kyogre stuff. I didn't like it, but I lost to it.
Then, I thought it was bad.
I thought it was bad, but Infernape had Quick Guard, and I was like, oh, I lose.
I got Infernape's cool. Oh,
Quick Guard is Infernape's so
pretty chill. I think Infernape's a pretty good early meta Pokemon. I wasn't mad about my loss. He had Aegislash. He had physical Aegislash. It was Shadow Claw. We'll see if that stays around, I would guess.
I was playing that. That's interesting.
I also played a little bit of physical Aegislash, but I had Shadow Sneak and really missed a better ghost move.
Yeah.
Right.
I should have just used Claw.
Was it like Iron Head or something, too?
Yeah.
He just used Shadow Claw against me.
Okay. Shadow Claw, Iron Head, White Guard, King
Shield
probably.
Some people are using Gyro Ball.
Yeah, I tested Gyro Ball, I think it's pretty bad, but I understand the allure.
Yeah.
I can see where the reasoning would take you with that.
Alright, so what else was there? What won?
We actually dipped before our top cut. We looked at our carpool, like, oh, none of us cut, like Logan didn't cut, I didn't cut, we're like, oh yeah, okay, we're leaving. And we
So none of you played any of the people that top cut ahead of time?
No, I think we all did really bad. We all like played each other and we all lost. Like Jake and Blake played each other like round 2. I knocked out Ian, then Ian got knocked out by Logan. It was a disaster. Oh, Ian had Smeargle, like you do. I think Smeargle was really popular. Rayquaza was super popular, even though I think it's really bad.
Mega or not Mega?
Mega.
Okay.
I don't remember LP Fan one with Groudon, Xerneas, Amoongus, Crobat stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I think that sounds about right, too, from what I heard.
What I will say is that I fought a Crobat. I think, this is my first 2016 opinion, I'm going to defend it to the death. I think Crobat is garbage.
Okay.
It's so bad.
I'm offended.
I'm not offended. I think Crobat is exactly as good as Crobat has always been, which
I agree.
In this metagame, I think is slightly less than usual. So I'm kind of confused by the new popularity, but whatever.
Let me tell you my Crobat story. I was playing Bryce Stewart. I don't know if you know it, guys know Bryce, but Bryce actually soft resets Legends for a bunch of people in this community. He's a really nice guy.
Yes, he is.
He was playing me, and he led Crobat against my Dialga. And we like put in our turn one moves, and he says, okay, if you have Mental Orb, I automatically lose. First of all, any situation where you're inputting a move and you automatically lose is a bad situation, and one you should not be doing. Second of all, I didn't have Mental Orb. He talked to me, and I Draco Meteored him, and he got obliterated. That Crobat evaporated off the face of the earth.
And I think part of the problem was that he was so weak to Trick Room that he was just like, well, if he has Mental Herb, I lose, but this is the only way I beat Trick Room.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
I just think, I mean, like if Crobat's purpose in life is to taunt things and then die to a Draco Meteor, yeah. I just don't see the lore. And the best case scenario is that he taunts me, I try to Trick Room, I don't get it up, and then next turn I Draco Meteor him.
That's sort of worse than Smeargle, because at least Smeargle usually has the sash and the spiky shield and the moody to protect it and keep it alive.
Yeah, exactly. I think Smeargle's really good, but I think Crobat is, like, so hilariously, like, tunnel vision people, like, not thinking about the game in a critical way that, like, it's bad.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I can see how that gave you that impression, but I think if Crobat's played right, like, it's, like, probably its role has usually been in VGC, it's actually a really decent mon. I mean, it gets Tailwind, Taunt, Quick Guard. That's enough to shut down, like, pretty much any threat that's not named Trick Room.
But it was really decent last season, too, and people didn't play it because it was just really decent. Like, I definitely played it in a few situations. I remember playing against Wolf with it for NPA or something along those lines. And, like, liking the way it matched up against the team, but not playing it correctly. But there are situations where Crobat has been great, and I think every season. I kind of inclined to agree with Oliver. I think this might be the limit, this beginning portion of the metagame, this might be the limit to which we see Crobat extend.
I just don't think it can compete with, like, the strongest Pokemon in the format. I mean, like,
I don't think it can compete with getting knocked out all the time.
Yeah, Super Fang's ridiculously good. Or even, like, maybe, I don't even know if I want to even say that much. Like, Super Fang's good, but, like, Quick Guard is, like, situational. Taunt is situational. Everything he does is super situational. I just don't see it. Yeah, all right.
Tailwind is a good move.
Tailwind is the bad.
Tailwind Wars are useless.
But Tailwind is better now because there are less turns in every game. So I understand the loot, but there are so many better Tailwinders. Salamence, Talonflame.
That's true.
Giratina.
There are a lot of great options. Giratina is not that good.
No, I agree. Probably. I think it's better than Crobat, though. I
think Lugia is probably better than
Giratina. Oh, Lugia is so good.
I mean, like, Weakness Policy, Tailwind, Lugia, like, give me some more, please.
I've got Weakness a policy, Lugia really? Team for somebody else. Like, is that the item to go with? Because I wasn't sure what item to slap on.
It seems that Weakness Policy Lugia has a lot of really interesting strategical ways to go about it. I'm sure there are a lot of great options, like Citrus Berry,
I slap Leftovers. Moringa on there.
Moringa's an option?
Yeah,
because it has the whole Great Wall physical defense stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to put there. So it was just a placeholder, but they seem to like it.
I've heard more about Weakness Policy, but that's just because of what you can do with, like, Fling Shenanigans and all that jazz with Air Blast crit rate.
Right.
But, I mean, it's obviously not the only item you can run. And oftentimes, like, the best stuff in the meta begins as a really strange item choice on a Pokemon you wouldn't usually expect that item to be on. A lot of things start that way.
I want to start putting red card on things, because I think...
That's too random.
It's
too. You're not giving yourself the surety that you can assure yourself of. Like, you want to guarantee that wherever possible.
But I don't know. I think it's a fun little thing to do. I don't know how good it's going to be. I've had some good success in the past with eject button, but I want to get the red card going.
I mean, there might be someone out there who's already making red card work and making it, like, the best item in the metagame.
If people keep using deer, then the red card has plenty of uses.
I think deer's here to stay, so...
Deer is in Xerneas.
Yes.
That's Xerneas, people.
Xerneas, which likes to gyromancy and get plus two, plus two, plus two.
Geomancy.
Gyromancy!
That's pretty cool.
Gyromancy.
That sounds so good.
Xerneas becomes four times speed. And it can now sense its direction.
And its sprite starts rotating.
Gyrospheres do. I should know that. Hi, I'm applying to college this year.
But yes, one Dazzling Gleam and they get knocked out and lose all their boosts, and now they don't have an item is kind of nice.
Yeah, but you do still have to take the Dazzling Gleam.
You do, and there are actually a lot of things that can do that.
That can take it, but you're still playing the game usually on about 50% health or less after a Dazzling Gleam for two Pokemon.
Yeah, and you can protect one.
Then you're losing the turn to get a red card.
Yeah.
That you don't losing turns in a game where
you can still
like
attack with your turns. Other Pokemon that's holding the red card
that might get KO'd. I mean,
don't put it on something that loses to Dazzling Gleam. That's
just a lot of risk there. You don't want to throw away turns when you have, there's such a limited resource, you know?
If that was the case, then people wouldn't be running that on deer, because it does take a turn to set up.
Well, it takes a turn, but it gives you turns
kind of
all over the game. And it gives you so much opportunity. Two quiver dances in a turn is pretty valuable.
It is, but you use your item slot there.
And that's the trade-off. So maybe we'll see later in the metagame Xerneas become an entirely different Pokemon, or
I think so, because I love its speed, I love its typing, I love its power. I don't think that's the best way to use it, though. Like, it has a having to set up is... It makes me sick.
Apparently there have been some Japanese players on Showdown who have been running Choice Spec Xerneas.
That makes sense.
That's a really interesting choice.
Yeah, I've actually been wanting to try it out, but I haven't done any calcs for it, or actually even been lazy and just run 252 modest with choice specs to see how that works out. But it's interesting.
I mean, doesn't it learn Earth Power?
Wouldn't you want to do Timid?
I don't know. I always...
Let me check that right now.
I was always using Hidden Power Ground, but I don't think I ever checked for Earth Power. Somebody just told me to do that. So
okay, Earth Power is not possible.
Yeah, so cool. HP Ground.
Can I give my Xerneas thoughts? I think Geomancy is extremely strong, but I think Power might actually not be that good on it.
I mean, but you can't use Geomancy without Power, so that by definition,
I don't know if that's true. Up. Is that true?
You can. It's just going to take an extra turn.
Right, but is it like? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're restricted because we've never played with a move like Geomancy before. But, like, think of Xerneas, like, with an item. Like, what if it's Geomancy Life Orb? And then you just protect the turn you get the boost or whatever. Like,
I mean, to be fair, Geomancy's a better move than we're giving it credit for here, because it almost single-handedly got someone, albeit on a kind of gimmick thing, got someone into Day 2 Worlds, right?
Yeah,
from
it did.
2015.
Right. But
on a even longer setup.
What about Oliver saying you can't actually protect the second turn? You are locked in.
Cannot.
No. It's like using Hyper Beam or Sky Attack or something.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, you I actually didn't know Geomancy. That at all. All right, yeah, you absolutely have to use Power Up. You're right. Never mind. Okay, I was wondering why everybody was like so... Okay.
My bad. Oliver,
we love you. And that's my research on that thought.
There's a reason you didn't cut that PC. No.
Yeah, there is. That's one of them. I've not played 2016, very much at all.
Okay, so... There were more PCs that were streamed... did anybody get to watch any of those yet?
No, I watched some of the Brooklyn ones. There was a Brooklyn one today I also watched.
Okay, because I kept glancing at Twitter and I saw pictures with Sunflora and people talking about Sheercold Lapras, and I had no idea what was going on.
John Who?
There was a Flygon.
Was that John Who?
There was a Bronzong.
Oh, yeah.
John Who?
Oh, yeah.
John Who had a Togekiss and a Mienshao and a Lapras.
Woo!
What?
It was nutty.
I mean, Togekiss is perfectly normal in this metagame, but Mienshao Lapras is different. Although he uses Lapras at every event he goes to, so it shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, he's Lapras fan 296.
I'm a bit confused about the Lapras call in this metagame, though. Like, what does it...
I mean...
What's it doing other than the sheer gold?
With Assault Vest, it might answer Kyogre well. Like, it would block the Thunder.
Yeah, with Assault Vest, you can freeze-dry Kyogre, and you can freeze-dry Palkia, which is huge.
Freeze-dry, okay.
Yeah,
and you have Water Absorb, which means obviously. You don't have to worry about Origin Pulse or
switching in.
Water Spout.
And then if you have a Rayquaza or something, Rayquaza. Yeah. I'm gonna stick with that. If you have Rayquaza or something that in some way negates the weather, then you can switch it in and knock out Groudon too. So in a way, it kind of hits both the primals.
Okay, and I agree with all of this. Why wouldn't you run the Walrus? It has
Wild Rain is reserved for royalty.
So. That's what I've been testing with the Assault Vest, and even if you just have HP and no special defense investment, Eruption from Groudon in harsh sunlight is a 4-hit KO.
Oh, because of thick fat.
Because it has thick fat.
Because of thick fat.
Thick fat.
That's
and assault.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think right. Water Absorb and thick fat offer different things. I think Water Absorb.
I'm sick. I mean, you're gonna resist the water anyway.
Yeah, you're going to resist it, but are you going to be immune to it?
Like, no.
There's a situation where you switch in the Lapras and you lose nothing by taking the Origin Pulse aside from the turn you use to switch it in. But if you switch in the Walrein, you lose 20 to 35% of your HP. And then you're at 66% health Walrein. Well, with Assault Vest, it might be able to take pretty.
Yeah.
I'm making an estimation. Yeah. But that said, You are, Warren has access to Super Fang. Resource.
Which actually, and Super Fang is pretty sick.
Yes.
Warren has Super Fang. The Warren
for. That's.
Let it be known.
But it does not have Hydro Pump, which kind of makes. Wow. That's okay. One of the.
But Hydro Pump's a little bit garbage.
It gets brine. So. Which is not great.
Brine.
But with the Super Fang.
Fang brine combo.
Fang brine!
That's so delicious.
And again, run it with a Rayquaza, and the brine will still knock out Groudon.
Wonderful. I think freeze dry is really what makes it. I think freeze dry is a huge deal for Lapras.
I haven't seen people running Palkia, because I thought that the general consensus was that Palkia wasn't one of the super strong choices.
I've tried it, and my conclusion was Palkia is going to be an amazing Pokemon once the metagame is ready for it, but the metagame is not ready for it right now.
I think Palkia is already pretty good just because it's at a speed tier faster than all the dragons not named Rayquaza.
I also just think Water Dragon is so good. It's such good typing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that handles really well the Kyogre Rayquaza teams that are showing up. Like, I could see Safety Goggles Palkia showing up and just being one of those Pokemon, occasionally, like, you would see Safety Goggles Hydreigon last season, like that just shows up and does something really strange to you because you're running an Amoongus and you think you can beat the Palkia, but you really can't. That kind of thing. I think that'd be cool. Because a lot of the Rayquaza Kyogre teams do run Amoongus.
How are they building their Amoongus right now?
I honestly haven't played one.
I've seen some Mental Herb. I was doing a little bit of study before the podcast. I've seen some Mental Herb. I don't know what else aside from Citrus Berry would even be relevant.
I think Rocky Helmet's still that bad. I've actually been using Eject Button. I like it.
That makes sense. It's about getting the HP back, right? Because you're losing so much of it so quickly.
Well, it's also about the Fake Out War. That, like, because everybody's Fake Out now, so I just leave, like, my Trick Room Center and Amoongus, and I protect Spore and force them to attack me. And then I get to bring in Kang, and I get the turn 2 Fake Out.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's pretty strong. And if you can control individual turns in VGC 2016 when they're so valuable.
Yep.
Like, game philosophy standpoint, a quick game makes all of each turn more valuable than it usually would be. And when each turn already has such a high value, it's important to have control over all the turns you can, assuming a shorter game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
yay.
Does anybody remember anything else from those BCs? Or can we move on to questions?
I can talk about a bunch of individual Pokemon if you want to talk about those. Like, I think Rayquaza is bad and stuff. We can talk about that.
I think we'll get to some of the stuff in the questions.
Right. Questions.
So. Yeah, I think our questions kind of prompt those.
Especially because we were just talking about Palkia, and Palkia and its brother Dialga both were known in 2010 to use Trick Room occasionally. And our first question from Kevin Elemist, he says, he says, do you guys think Trick Room will have a place in the 2016 meta? He says he played in 2010 Nats, and he wonders where we see it on the fringe as a potential, on the fringe as a potential top Kyogre, which is popular Hitmon top Kyogre strategy back in 2010, counter. And he asks, do we think that we'll see it again?
Yes.
Can I jump right in and answer this?
Go ahead.
Fire away. I will also want to jump in.
I think 2016 is a meta that's entirely about Trick Room. I think Trick Room is definitely like the strongest, like when you phrase it as a fringe counter. First of all, Trick Room is one of the best moves in VGC.
It was a fringe counter for Top Ogre back in 2010, but
yeah.
Okay.
This year it's a little different, but yeah.
Trick Room has always been one of the best moves in the game, period. End of discussion. And I think 2016 is where it's going to really flourish.
I think in a game that's right now, I mean, it's easy to see Trick Room as a lot better than it actually will be, because we're early metagames tend to be very speed dominated.
Exactly.
So Trick Room is super good at that time. But I think this is also a great opportunity for Trick Room in general. And I know I was testing with Trick Room Dialga, Smeargle stuff and messing around. And I think, honestly, restricted Pokemon with Trick Room is a really cool concept, which is a little separate from Trick Room as in a general sense, because they have the power to use Trick Room and then immediately do damage while still being bulky. Like, Cresselia had the trade-off of half Trick Room and be really bulky so it could get off the Trick Room but not do any damage. With the restricted Pokemon, it's half Trick Room, be really bulky, and do a lot of damage. And I think that's an awesome way to make those Pokemon more dynamic on the teams that they exist on.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling about Trick Room in this metagame is that Right now, it's really good because everybody's just clicking the Tailwind button and being done with it. I think that more people will switch to Trick Room as time goes on, but Trick Room is kind of interesting because Trick Room teams have a decent matchup against other Trick Room teams. They have an amazing matchup against Tailwind teams, provided you get Trick Room up. But,
and you stop the taunt.
Yeah, but like if you can't get Trick Room up reliably, then you're not running a Trick Room team. They have an answer for everything. And I believe that's why I love Trick Room so much in 2010. I have vague memories of running like Trick Room Palkia and a Metagross and then some other stuff.
Boom.
Very vague though, very vague. I think that it might take a while. Like I would not be surprised if for like the first round of regionals, we will see maybe like one or two Trick Room teams make top cut and that's it. But I bet by the time Worlds rolls around, everybody's going to have some form of Trick Room.
It'll be a 50-50 thing.
Yeah. It'll be you're either running Trick Room on your team to run Trick Room or you're running Trick Room on your team to un-Trick Room other people's Trick Room.
Or you're that weird guy that ends up winning Worlds with like Durant and doesn't have Trick Room.
Durant
and
has
doesn't
some pretty
have anything.
Interesting calcs, actually. I forget what they
are. No,
but
it does a lot of damage.
It does a lot of damage that you wouldn't think it would do because it's just Durant.
It's a big metal ant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That be said, avoid Durant, people. It's not.
Probably I have a question. Good. Has there been any world championship winning team that did not have Trick Room on it?
Did not have Trick Room?
What was
Sajin of Trick Room? Did his Gothitelle, right? Or no? I know it had Thunderwave.
No. No. It had Helping Hand Tickle. Did it have Helping Hand?
It had Helping Hand.
Tickle.
Definitely.
No, it didn't have Helping Hand.
It had Helping Hand Tickle Psychic Protect, right?
No, it didn't.
I don't know.
Helping Hand, it wasn't available back then. There was
no Tutor. Oh, no. Was it? No. Yeah, it was just Tickle. That was the Helping Hand. I think. Yeah. Did it have Trick Room? It was a Pokemon that could learn Trick Room.
Right. Close. I think Seijin might have been the only one. I think otherwise Trick Room has won Worlds every year.
Was Trick Room on this past year's team? I mean, it was on the seniors team, but was it on the masters team? I don't think it was.
No, it was on the Cresselia. It was Trick Room Protect, I think.
Oh, okay. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
So Seijin did not have Trick Room. He had Psyshock, Thunderwave, Tickle, Protect.
Okay.
But that is actually, that's a good point. A lot of good Worlds teams have Trick Room on them, because that affords them a lot of bulk.
And why I think Seijin got away with it is because his team still had like the power, the control power that Trick Room gives you, just with Gothitelle, and that was his plan. And I'm actually looking at it, yes, Shoma did have Trick Room on the Cresselia.
That team was beautiful. I mean, I don't want to derail into 2014, but that team was beautiful for a lot of reasons. It was strategically really sound. Like it was almost an airproof, like you could pull off the strategy you were going for very regularly, and then he because of that he didn't really require the same amount of bulk, because when he sacrificed a Pokemon it was always conducive to his strategy if he was playing his team correctly. So teams like that should win Worlds because they're so good, you know. But without Trick Room, I mean, Trick Room is an insurance against bad play a lot of time, because then you could play bulkier Pokemon, etc., etc. When you're playing bulkier Pokemon, you have longer games, and longer games have more turns, and then the turns that you lose have less significance, so you win more.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Seijin's team is very confident.
So. Yeah, it's very confident. It's assuming Seijin plays the game exceedingly well and executes the textbook strategy perfectly every time.
Right. Okay.
So, what
did you say?
Trick Room will have a place. We're all pretty certain.
Yes, Trick Room
this.
Always has a place. It
will have a place, and I think a pretty big place. Pretty large.
Yeah, I don't think hard Trick Room is going to stick around very long, but the Trick Room option is always a fun thing to have.
Right.
Especially if you're playing a best of three situation, because then you can scout out your opponent's speeds game one and then know if you need to Trick Room or not game two and three.
That's my favorite part of Best of Three.
I know. I really
so
want
fun.
Best of Three in this format for that reason.
Trick Room.
There have been so many games on Showdown where it's like, okay, it is Groudon versus Groudon, or Kyogre versus Groudon, or whatever, and the weather's not an issue in that situation. And it's like, if I'm faster, I win. But, like, I haven't actually been able to determine if I'm faster or not yet.
Right, because if you were to put yourself in a situation where you determined if you were faster, you would lose a lot of resources, HP-wise.
Yeah, So, like, I mean, the correct quote-unquote way around this is to figure out something else on the team that I've been testing with that has a speed similar to my restricted Pokemon so that I can make this decision earlier on in the game. But I just have been too lazy to actually figure that out.
That's a good idea, actually.
I
talking about Groudon and Kyogre, though. Tiffany wanted to know what was the best between them and Rayquaza.
It depends on the team.
It does depend on the team, but I am firmly in the Groudon camp. This may or may not be because I'm on Team Magma.
Oh, gosh.
I think Kyogre is showing up pretty well. A lot of the better teams on Showdown have been Kyogre teams because they answer the Xerneas Groudon teams surprisingly well.
So I do have a question, though, about Kyogre teams, having not really tested one. I've kind of tested one. Having not really tested one that's done decent on the ladder, why are so many people running Kyogre and Rayquaza, whereas with Groudon, it's always Xerneas? Like, I don't get that.
Kyogre and Rayquaza, essentially, if you have Kyogre and they switch in Groudon, you can switch in Rayquaza and still Origin Pulse and KO the Groudon.
Yeah, I get that, but why aren't people using that strategy with Groudon?
Because Groudon can't Oko Kyogre.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and, yeah.
Right? Okay. Solar Beam doesn't do it. If it had Mega Super Ground Dry, like Freeze Dry, but for ground.
Ground Dry.
Evaporate?
Also, Rayquaza would get rid of the Sun Boost that Groudon is using for defense.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
That was the point. That was the Origin Pulse thing.
Okay, yeah. Now that I understand the strategy more, I can see why Kyogre and Rayquaza are probably going to be the two that are seen long-term. I still like Groudon, though.
Groudon's super cool. I think Groudon has a lot of more room for innovation.
Yeah, Groudon doesn't need as much help as Kyogre does.
Kyogre does.
But when it gets down to Groudon versus Kyogre, assuming full health, assuming no weather, it sounds like Kyogre always wins, even if it loses the speed tie. And that, to me, that's right. Huge.
But if we assume that the sun is up, because no weather is essentially the same as rain. So if we say that that's the same, if it's a 50-50 on sun or rain or no weather, so like a weird Delta Stream knockout situation, then Groudon wins if it hits Precipice Blades. If it's special, though, that's because special Groudon is also pretty common, in my understanding. And if it's special, then it can't beat Kyogre in a one-on-one. Earth Power doesn't do as much damage as Ice Beam does.
True. I mean, I've always been running special. I think Precipice Blades and Origin Pulse are terrible moves. They're really strong, but they're so inaccurate.
It's Meteor Mash all over again.
It's worse than Meteor Mash, or maybe that's just been my luck. I don't know.
No, that's fair.
I think Precipice Blades is good. I just don't know if it's better than Earthquake. Earthquake is, like, so sick. Like, let's all remind ourselves what Earthquake is for a moment. Earthquake's amazing.
Yeah, but it's kind of like trying to choose between Surf and Muddy Water.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that, actually. Especially, Muddy Water has the accuracy drop. Precipice Blades has an additional chance for crit. It's a damage difference.
Wait. Precipice Blades has an elevated crit rate?
I believe so. Am I wrong?
I've never heard that.
I don't remember this, but
Let me look and make sure. I thought
playing
it did.
All my
oh no, it has character. It has no additional effect. I'm wrong.
Okay,
I was thinking of Drowun, I think.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
There we go. Fix. Sorry, podcast listeners. I'm stupid. It's okay.
Blame me for your problems.
I was gonna say if it has an elevated crit rate, I take everything back. That's like golden Pokemon.
There we go. Precipice Blades. No. Yeah. Okay. It is. It's a lot like. Muddy Water has the additional accuracy drop thing, though, and people still didn't use it. It wasn't the same power defense.
I love Muddy Water.
No, people wouldn't use Surf.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the accuracy drop thing is huge. What was it, 30% or 20%?
It was a big part.
I think it was 30%. That's really good.
I know when I ran Benji's Rain Team in 2013, I won a few games. On people missing attacks after accuracy drops. And that was very frustrating for them. But Precipice Blades doesn't do that. So it's a question of what kind of trade-off people are willing to make. Because you also have to build your team to deal with Earthquake. right?
Yeah.
I think Groudon just has a lot of options, and it's a lot easier to build around.
Yeah. I think in a very general sense, it has, you can run all kinds of sets. You can't run physical Kyogre. Well, I'm sure you can, but I would heavily advise against it right now.
I looked into it. It's not good.
Okay. It does have a decent physical attack stat. You can use that clean waterfall.
But I was looking at Earthquake to see if I could punish Groudon switch-ins, but like it does nothing.
There's no punishing Groudon.
Yeah, you can't. It's like too good.
Ice Beam is the closest you can get, I think.
Yeah, Ice Beam is a great punish on it, to be honest. Ice Beam, I mean, just the chance to freeze it.
So what's everybody's thoughts on Rayquaza then? Like, outside
It ends up being a supportive thing. Like, you don't ever focus a team unless you're doing the weird Clefairy Rayquaza or Togekiss Rayquaza thing.
Yeah, and like, I feel Rayquaza's best move basically makes its defenses a joke. And I know it can...
Best!
Maybe best. But like...
It's move that it needs to Mega.
Yeah.
Makes it very
and,
well.
Okay, yeah, you also don't have to Mega Rayquaza, which... If you're trying to control weather, it might be better if you don't run a Mega Rayquaza.
Right, because then when it leaves the field, you can keep your rain if you had it.
Right.
I want to back down from my original...
And they can't just switch in and reset the weather on you.
Yeah. I'm not impressed. I think that it's an interesting tech. I don't think it's... Because every time I've gotten into a game versus Rayquaza... I live whatever attack it throws at me, and then it gets the drop, and then I kill it. If they stay unmegaed, then I just end up killing it.
Yeah.
It's just...
'Cause it's frail.
It's very frail. I can understand why people like it, and I actually really like the fact that you can choose when you Mega Evolve and sort of reset the weather if you get into a tough situation, but it's just... It's not the right Pokemon to perform that role, I think.
I have very quietly been tossing around Assault Vest in my head because it can run Mix really well, and then it can switch in if it has Assault Vest. But I'm the kind of person who's run Assault Vest Bisharp before, so
I remember that day.
It was actually a good Pokemon in 2015.
Sylveon ate it.
Bring it to a tournament, but. Yeah. It was much better than anyone could have given it credit for because no one even considered its existence.
That is true.
I want
to pay attention to all the possibilities.
Yeah. I want to back down from my original angry comment about Rayquaza. It may not be complete poo, but I think that taking up the Mega slot and the restricted slot is a problem. I was like everybody else. I thought it was crazy. And I talked to like Scott and some other players for like literally like 30 seconds about it. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is like when you take up the Mega slot and the Primal slot, and you just like die to a strong breeze. It's just like the same reason like Blaziken's not all that good. It'll be okay. I don't think it's gonna be the best.
I've been tossing around a handful of Focus Sash ideas for Rayquaza, just to pretend as bulk. But I've also been, and I'm probably going to be running this at a Premier Challenge in the next handful of hours. Life Orb
hours.
Yeah. Well, it's hours at this point, but yeah. Life Orb, pure special, no Mega.
Right.
Because you are faster than all the other dragons besides Palkia. You can one-shot pretty much anything with a Life Orb Draco Meteor.
Aside from Groudon, actually, a decently invested Groudon will not take one. Or will take one, excuse me. Alright, so we talked about these restricted Pokemon. Cody Kirk asks, what non-restricted Pokemon do well or have potential to do well to support them?
Walrein.
And what are some of the best ways to do so?
I like Walrein because of the bulk I spoke of earlier. Also, it has Icy Wind and Super Fang, which are good things to have to support your team.
Wow. It does a lot of things without using any non-attacking moves.
Yeah, which is why you can vest it and still let it just support you.
Right. I'm about to talk about Jumpluff, but
okay.
Anyone who wants to fit something in before I talk about Jumpluff.
No, I think Jumpluff is a good Pokemon to talk about.
Essentially, what you can do is Jumpluff. It used to be a thing in 2010 where you would lead Groudon Jumpluff. And since Jumpluff is immune to Earthquake, has Helping Hand, learns Sleep Powder, gets Chlorophyll, so it will outspeed actually everything, because it without any investment hits 130 speed. So you don't have to invest in speed at all to outspeed actually everything in the sunlight. Or if you want to invest a lot of speed, then you can run Infiltrator, which is good for getting around Safeguard, if that's ever good. But it gets Rage Powder and Helping Hand, and doesn't have offensive stats, but it does learn Grass Knot, which makes it sort of relevant as a stab Grass Knot user, despite base 55 special attack, which is horrible.
Also, don't forget Encore in the song.
Encore as well.
Encore
Speedy Encore. It's very good.
You can encore them after the Geomancy.
Geomancy.
It's like geo, like geographic or geology, because it's the Earth Pokemon. Or, well, not like literally Earth, what? But...
It's like life.
Yeah.
But it's a move, not a Pokemon.
Om is in its meditating on life.
So is there any Cinevetal that's about life and death? Is that what, like, X and Y is about?
Yeah, I mean, yes. The whole AZ subplot thing.
Oh, Alpha and Omega. God.
That is so... Wow.
Yveltal is death. Xerneas is life.
Wow, you're right. I never got that. That is so insane.
And if you played Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, that plot was restated when Xerneas is the Pokemon of the Tree of Life and...
Don't spoil that for me. I just got that. I just started that. Stop talking to her. Just
what that. Kind of sandwiches would they make?
Xerneas would use life and vegetables.
Do they know what sandwiches would use dead are? Animals.
That's true.
Yes, of course they do.
No, I mean, they're eternal.
Sandwiches are life.
No. Yveltal would make dead sandwiches. It would make it with dead animals.
Yeah. Do you not make sandwiches with dead animals?
Well,
what if...
I established this early on in the podcast. No. Aside from fish sandwiches.
Xerneas inadvertently creates all... Because he creates the people that make the sandwiches, and he creates all the ingredients for the sandwich. So the answer is Xerneas creates every sandwich, and Yveltal creates no sandwich.
Okay.
Well, Yveltal destroys all sandwiches.
It's late on a Friday night, and it just wants to eat one sandwich.
Friday night!
Watching TV and falling asleep. What sandwich does it make then?
I would just say takeout.
A good sandwich. A really good sandwich.
Yeah, a really good sandwich. I agree. It's just a really good one.
We don't know what it is, but it's astounding, whatever sandwich it is.
It's also probably really big.
It would make you cry. Well, Xerneas would be like, this is just every day for me.
All right, next question. Somebody else has to read it because I had to close everything.
Oh, I can read it again.
Was that the last question?
No, I can read it again.
We're still talking about non-restricted Pokemon this year.
Smith should read this one.
Oh, hang on. I want to say more about the non-restricted Pokemon.
Right. Okay, feel free.
Just a few things. Well. All right, so my actual answer to this is, I think, one, Smeargle is not going away. Smeargle is so good, I think Smeargle is going to be really good the whole metagame. And two, I think Cresselia is really good. I think Cresselia has always been, like, the best BGC Pokemon, like, and will continue to do so. Or is, like, one of the best.
I know,
Sam, that you don't like it, but I think Cresselia is really strong.
I agree.
Skill Swap is huge in this metagame. Shuriken's good.
Flying Ice Helping Hand users, attack. Jump Love, Cress, they're both astounding.
And the whole shtick is that, I mean, I think this is what's going to separate the good from the great in terms of team building in 2016, is finding out ways to use your non-mega, non-restricted Pokemon effectively. And that's what this is going to all be about.
And make those slots meaningful.
Yeah, and that's where the creativity is going to shine. Like, we all get that Kyogre's good, we all get Kang's good. What else can you do?
Yeah. And I think one of those things, like, when this question asks which non-restricted Pokemon support their teammates the best, you're essentially asking us to make a meta call for which Pokemon are the most important in the metagame. Because it ends up being like, okay, they're a Pokemon that everyone's going to use. But the Pokemon that are going to win you a tournament, listener, or make you do well, or really stand out on a team, or make people notice your work, what you're producing player-wise, are going to be the ones that aren't Megas or Primals. They're going to be the ones that no one expects you to use. Or they'll be weird Megas that support Primals, or all this kind of stuff that's different, but achieves its purpose more effectively than the strategy that people are already using. Because what it ends up being is the strategies that win are not the ones that everyone else uses, right?
Correct.
So I hope that's like a general statement.
So not Thunderous.
I hope not.
I think Thunderous is going to have one of its weakest...
Sort characters. Of underused in this metagame.
Every time I see a Thunderous, the only thing it does is it paralyzes two Pokemon, and then I kill it. And then the rest of the game is, does Gabby get fully paralyzed? If yes, I lose. If not, I win. Like...
To be fair...
Which is good, sorry. Which you'll always take.
Yeah, I don't know.
If there's an if not I win situation, I quite like them.
No, I mean,
I like the auto lose situation, though.
Can I give my pseudo joke answer to the question as well?
Sure. Feel free.
My half serious answer to this question is I was testing Pelipper. And Pelipper.
It's Pelipper. Pelipper.
Pelipper.
Pelipper.
Pelipper?
Flipper.
Anyway, go on.
I'm my Pelipper Flipper.
So, Seagull Guy has Rain Dish. He has Leftovers. He has Wide Guard. He has Tailwind. And he has some of the best defensive typing in the game.
You know who else has that?
Mantine.
I agree. But, wait, does Mantine get Tailwind and Wide Guard?
It gets Water Absorb. It does get both.
It does. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And Water
Absorb. Oh, but wait, Pelipper gets Hurricane, too.
Oh, wow. Really stunning.
That's so trill.
Mantine is better.
You're probably right. But, I mean, like, and neither are probably that good. But I was testing Pelipper. I think it was fun. So that's my... If people wanted to tune to this podcast and hear a crazy Pokemon, that is my crazy Pokemon that I offer to people.
Maybe Pelipper or Mantine could work with Deltastream Rayquaza to have their flying type weaknesses removed and then Electric not automatically knock them out.
Yeah.
That's a nifty idea, Tor. Time will tell.
Or Gyarados. Gyarados with Dragon Dance could work like that with support Rayquaza. Crazy idea.
That's interesting.
That's kind of interesting.
I've been playing with support Gyarados, actually, and that's a fun thing, too.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yep.
It does wall a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, I do want to make a little addendum to what I said earlier. Someone might see the argument I said about different stuff and say, well, what about 2015 Worlds? It's important to note that everyone aside from the Japanese was not running the team that the Japanese were running.
Yeah.
It just so happened that seven Japanese people all made very similar meta calls that were all the same really good meta call. Because it was normal meta for them, but not for us. And we all got bodied.
Wait, was that not normal meta for us?
At the time it was not. North America was an extremely varied meta game.
We had no Cresselias. That was the only Cresselias.
We had no Cress. And I won Nats with Politoed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in my honesty...
I still feel like that was the team I came completely prepared for and then was very sad.
I mean, I was prepared for it. It's just, I didn't play it that much.
You know, I got paired up against one Japanese player day one, and he was not running that team.
Yeah, there were a lot more Japanese players there.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
What I will say is I tested that exact team verbatim before Worlds, like, as my, was the Boston Open? I was like, oh, this isn't that good, I don't get it. Like, I just thought it was so funny. Like, when everybody's using
weren't those, like, the top 8 Pokemon on the GBU
statistics? Yeah, top 7, top 8, yeah.
It was top 7 in Cresselia, there were no Cresselia.
They're super common there, but the way that a lot of, like, super competitive American players were playing, it just wasn't, like, if you talked to me then, when I was discussing with Blake or et cetera. And it was funny, Blake and I used the same team. He went 5-2 and I went 1-4 drop. But it just wasn't like we thought. A lot of people thought 2 weeks before Worlds, Kangaskhan isn't a big deal. People shouldn't bring it because it's bad, because everyone will overprepare for it. And then a week before Worlds, we were like, wait, what do we do against Kangaskhan? And then we all realized that we had made a very big mistake. Because, I mean, that's part of the reason why everyone was scrambling to make teams. From America, at least, the day before Worlds, because we weren't ready, because we realized that we had made some great mistake in preparation, because our metagames weren't accurate to what was going to be good at the world.
People were freaking out about Charizard, which turned out to be the worst of the big four Omegas, and we kind of had this idea of, like, the big four after U.S. Nationals, and we were all freaking out about Charizard, and Charizard was, like, verbatim the worst.
It ended up being pretty bad. I mean, I think even Blake ended up playing Kangaskhan more than he played Charizard. And part of the reason he was more successful than me, and he ran into more slower Kangaskhans. So his Charizard was, like, relevant, whereas mine was just not. Because I ran into all Jolly Kangaskhan.
All right. Any other questions? Because we're kind of running long.
We have one question for my Ganja, which was, which currently underused Pokemon would you guys think is going to make its mark on the metagame? He says he knows it's early, but he wants to hear some ideas.
Greninja!
That's cool. I Greninja.
I think Greninja is really good because Grass Knot.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge deal.
Stab Grass Knot, and with Rayquaza, you can water move things.
Yeah, nice. Good idea, Dolar.
Does it actually knock anything out? Because it had difficulty doing that before.
Very close.
Yeah.
Or do a significant amount of damage. But Grass Knot's a good move in a metagame where everything is heavy. And if you're not going to get any Okos anyways, might as well do like 80%.
But everything's going to Oko it. Like everything.
Not necessarily. There are situations where Greninja doesn't get Okoed because of the opportunity cost. And that was part of... I was doing some observation and research before this podcast, again. And that was one of the things I noticed. Some people were playing Greninja, and it wasn't getting KO'd right away. And I was like, that's really strange, because Greninja's really frail, and it should be bad. And then I kind of thought about it. And it's the offense is the best defense sort of thing. When these turns are really valuable, once again, I say this every time, when these turns are really valuable, the amount of damage Greninja does might end up being better than it is right now. Or people should maybe use Greninja more. I don't know. That's always... Something is possible with Greninja.
I don't know. I haven't tried it this year, but I have run it a handful of times in the past. And even then, it was just barely enough or not quite enough power. Mm. And with all these higher base stats everywhere, I don't know that it can hang.
Grass Knot hasn't been relevant before.
I don't think it matters.
Mm. It's also really fast. So it handles stuff like Salamence and Rayquaza pretty well.
That's all very true. That's interesting. I want to hear more about that. I want to say mine. I think Dialga is really tragically underused right now. I think Dialga is super sick. Adamant Orb, Quiet, Trick Room, Draco Meteor, Iron Head, Protect. Draco Meteor hits like a freaking truck. I had a -2. Yeah, Iron Head's really good too. But my -2 helping hand Draco Meteor did 80% to a Groudon in the Premier Challenge 2 days ago.
Oh my god.
I'm like, Dialga, you're a monster. And Adamant Orb is just so good, as an item for it. Because you're not using, a bunch of weird special attacks. So, if you look at Dialga's stats, they're all, out of this world. I think
that's just good. That's the same for, half of the restricted Pokemon.
Well, they're, all, the right places. Palkias are, kind of weird. The 100 speed's unfortunate, and the 90 HP's unfortunate. But Dialga has 100 HP and the 90 speed, and then he has 120 in the attack and defense. And his weak one's his special defense, which is kind of bad, but I don't know. It all just kind of works for what you want him to do.
Yeah. I think I've said this every week so far, but White Kyurem is...
No!
Oh, it's fast enough, and it has so much power.
I actually don't know anything about it.
Does it get freeze dry?
No.
Oh.
Well, you don't need it.
Oh.
You've got Draco. You've got fire thing. You've got ice
freeze dry. Freeze dry is great. That's great.
I think Dragon Ice typing is horrid.
It's fine.
It's bad. No,
absolutely fine.
I mean, when White Kyurem is the best Pokemon in the metagame, I'll eat my words. But for some reason,
what's coming after it though?
Xerneas. Xerneas absolutely steamrolls.
Xerneas comes after all of the, and you can...
Rayquaza absolutely steamrolls.
Ments comes after it.
Yes.
Kang comes Ments after
Ments specifically made to deal with dragons.
Yeah, Rayquaza is an issue, I would
Kangaskhan, yeah. Oliver said Kangaskhan.
Kangaskhan's not...
Low kick.
You can take low kicks.
You can take them, but it's not fun, and I don't think you take low kick fake out.
You don't need to. You can always protect on one of those.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with Kyurem White, is that it's weak to all the other things in the meta. Like if I'm preparing against Rayquaza, I'm also preparing against Kyurem White and stuff.
Your fave is problematic.
That's not entirely true.
Well, I think it's at least partially true. I get what you mean, that the ice resist kind of helps it there, but otherwise I think it's kind of...
Just the amount of power and the speed.
That's like so the Greninja argument. But
yes. But yeah. This actually has the power to knock
Oko
things out.
Groudon, theoretically, right?
Yes.
With Groudon. Metaphor of Draco?
Yep.
Okay.
It's good.
Well, that is considerable.
Yeah, that's pretty... And it has Earth Power, right?
Why would it need Earth Power if it can already KO Groudon?
Yeah. What if I don't want the drops, or I want to hit Dialga?
Its base happiness is zero. That's so cool.
Oh, it... Well, I mean, Ice Beam is neutral, and... Against Dialga.
Yeah. I think Dragon Rage is a 16
so
hit
KO.
I was looking at
16 hit KO.
Oh, it has Imprison. Imprison would be really funny if you could imprison the Draco on something else.
Yeah, but
that's too situational.
Oh, Fusion Flare is great.
Fusion Flare is a lot of fun.
I can't go
maybe Trick Room Humor Might with Life Orb or Choice Specs?
Because a lot of people just try to Mawile against Kyurem, and then
that's
you just
true, it...
murder them immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fusion Flare?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Sure.
I mean, it does indeed do a lot of damage. And
I like it.
Life Orb, Draco, Ice Beam, Fusion Flare, Protect. Yeah.
It's solid. It's easy.
I'll respect that.
You can put a lot of stuff around it.
I think it could be good with something like maybe Groudon, because you have the additional spread move fear. So you're forcing them to deal with both a single target nuke move and a spread move, which is one of the things that made... The only thing is you just have to use two primals to do... Or not two restricteds to achieve that. So you're putting a lot of your money on the table when you do something like that.
All right. Anybody else got something?
I think that's... I'm good. JTK, Oliver.
I'm thinking, but I can't really think of anything right now that I would consider underused that's going to have a huge impact on the metagame. So I'm just going to leave that one to the experts.
Experts.
You aren't one of those?
Okay. I've had to play all my games on Showdown on my phone.
Dang.
So. Oh, Lord.
That's limited.
You're really tougher than me, frankly. You're a stronger man than I.
Not having internet is hard.
That is hard.
I could not.
All right. So, if that's it, then I guess we should all plug our stuff.
Right.
I host this show. It's called The Lava Pool. I think it's all right. We're on iTunes. If you're listening in a browser, you're doing it wrong. You can...
It's okay, browser users. I still love you.
Yeah, it's...
And I'm here, like, semi-weekly.
Bi-weekly.
Semi is in the, like, maybe sort of usage of the word semi.
Ah, I see.
I'm not actually here, like, sometimes weekly, or I just randomly disappear.
But really, yes.
Just know that I'm up until 3 a.m. doing homework.
Currently, I'm posting these as a blog on Nugget Bridge instead of the forum posts that I used to do. So if you wanted to follow that blog, it is... I'll link it on Twitter or something. But yes, if you have questions or topics you would like answered or discussed on this show, please put them there so I have one nice spot to read all of them. Otherwise, you can follow The Lava Pool on Twitter. It is just at The Lava Pool. Or you could follow me if you want to do that. I don't know if you would, but it is at Dr_Fidget.
You know, I'm going to follow The Lava Pool right now.
Good. Why weren't you doing that already?
Dropping the ball.
No. Dropping the iron ball on your Rayquaza. By the way, iron ball Rayquaza. Rayquaza. Dang. Remember that.
That's hot.
When it shows up.
There's the world's call right there.
Iron ball Rayquaza. It's slower than Mawile, and it okas it with overheat.
Yes, it does.
With enough investment. Just, I think it's incredible.
All right.
I guess I should plug next, I guess.
Sure.
Oliver and I are both part of the Boiler Room. We're restarting our blog on Nugget Bridge, so if that happens, we're notably flaky, but if that happens, feel free to watch out. Typically, we do make pretty interesting content somewhere along the lines of our sandwich discussion earlier, except mm-hmm. about Pokemon.
Right.
You Same can follow me at Dim Sunlight. I tweet regularly about my normal life, but occasionally I do mention Pokemon. I'm looking forward to maybe making some content of my own, maybe blog-wise, maybe video-wise, but I'm planning on moving forward with that because I think maybe I have some thoughts to share. And that should be good for me.
Okay. I'm going to say my thing, which is I've recently figured out how the Nugget Bridge blog system works. So I'm working on some blogs. Right now I'm working on a blog, which will probably by the time you've listened to this already be published, so you can go check it out. It's going to be a blog about how to use your creativity. How to use your creativity competitively in VGC?
Exactly like the sandwich discussion.
No, not in any way, actually, Tolar. But thank you.
Can you write a blog about the sandwich discussion, though?
We have tiered cereal before.
We have tiered cereal before. No, no, no discussion is too pedantic for me to take too seriously. So
right.
This post will be about using your creativity, and then the next one I think is going to be about managing your luck and talking about expected value and understanding probability and how that can
affect. And then the one after that, I'm going to jump in and write about sandwiches. Or
and the last of that is going to be the Boiler Room calendar. So we're all going to post shirtless, and then, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, we have the Boiler Room calendar coming out.
Wait, so. What? how do I get in on this?
It's actually impossible. We cannot do it.
And we looked into it. I really wanted a call-in calendar for my birthday, but
I will say all of us are definitely attractive enough to pull it off.
Yeah, I think sure. especially
Logan, especially yeah. Logan.
So wait, is this not happening, or are you just not letting me in?
I mean, Blake's lost a lot of weight recently. We could have him.
Yeah, shouts to Blake for losing a lot of weight.
A lot of Blake.
Losing a lot of Blake.
Right. He's a smaller Blake.
So much that he actually couldn't make the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. he was looking for it, but it seems like it's lost. So it's unfortunate.
He lost the weight that lets him speak into microphones.
Yeah,
right.
The gravitas.
He lost his throat muscles mostly.
All right.
Can I plug now? Is it safe?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So I haven't figured out how the Nugget Bridge blog thing works, and I probably won't because I'm a terrible writer. But I do post a lot of videos on YouTube where you can see me playing very terribly on Showdown, usually with VGC's 2016 themes. So it
learn from her mistakes.
Yeah, you can learn from my mistakes. It's great. Everybody has fun. And occasionally I'll also stream on Twitch, which probably will be happening at some point in the future, but I can't really say when because I have no idea when Sam's going to publish this. So if you want to know when those things are, just you can follow me on Twitter. I am iBidoof. I do not have a Twitter name that matches my VGC handle, but that I'm okay with that. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Just off topic here, but does anyone know if you can like screen share on Periscope?
Periscope? No, because Periscope is just your phone camera.
I was hoping I could stream me playing Showdown on my phone
So you could if you jailbreak. If you jailbreak, they have special apps that'll do screen capturing. I don't know if you could live stream it, but you could at least get the video of it.
No, well that's no fun.
That's not legal, and we shouldn't discuss that on a podcast.
Unless I'm annoying people on the bus, then it's no good.
I mean, you could Periscope your face while you're playing Showdown on the bus.
Eh.
Don't know how much that would achieve.
What about Periscoping your feet while playing Showdown on the bus?
I don't think
anyone wants to watch that.
I think I'm going to do that, actually. Because then when like my feet start tapping more rapidly, I'm getting excited. Like you can tell that I'm winning. Or losing. Probably losing. Because that's what I do more often. Top players lose.
No, but when you're tapping your foot, it's because the button doesn't actually input when you click on it, because that's what happens with Showdown on your phone. You have to mash the button you want to hit like 40 or 50 times before it actually goes through.
All right, that said, we should probably wrap this up.
We should. All right, until next time, I am... Oh god, are we doing names or...
Yes!
Screen names.
Do whatever you want to do.
I forget which one.
You
I'm
did
Sam.
Both. Both. I've been Toller or Dimsun.
I'm Gabby, a.k.a. JTK.
I'm Oliver.
Thanks to Zach, a.k.a. Bravarius, for our awesome new theme music. That's cool. And we will see you next time on The Loud Pool.
And that, to me, is probably where I should have stopped. But then I got to thinking, wait a second.
That's good.
Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre come from an ancient, epic time before the race of humanity entered the planet, and henceforth, before grain got turned into bread. So if I ask...
But they're still around.
Right, but I'm saying, in the heart of hearts, like, they form their ideas of what the world is when they're children. And when they're children, there's no bread. So if you ask Primal Kyogre and Primal Groudon what a sandwich is to them, well, some sort of meal that has no bread on it. And henceforth, it is simply just, like, a thing. It's an idea. A sandwich without bread is just, it's filling. It's just what, like, is in between the bread, right? And the only food substance that Primal
you
Kyogre...
You lost me on...
No, I'm still with
on everything. Like, I get it.
Keep it up, Oliver!
Okay, the only
they
food
understand
substance...
human language and the word sandwich, so none of this makes sense.
Okay. Even so, the only food substance that Primal Kyogre can generate is seaweed and fish, and that's it. And Groudon can generate tomatoes, like vegetables, things of that ilk, but they cannot generate... the sandwich component, because the sandwich has to come from man. Man makes the sandwich. The sandwich is inherently, like, human invention, just like philosophy,
language,
other things like that. So if you ask them just to make a sandwich using only their talents and their abilities, Primal Kyogre would give you fish, and Primal Groudon would give you vegetables.
I'm just gonna edit all of that out and cut you off after you said submarine.
No, no. That's awesome. That's awesome. No analysis.
You can't do that. It's against the rules.
No, because if they know what you mean by sandwich, they know how to make a sandwich.
That's this is a philosophical question. We don't need to answer this right now.
We do, and we did.
They don't have the materials for a sandwich, even if they know what sandwich means. So
again.
My interpretation comes from a literal interpretation of make. Like, they have to make everything themselves.
There are two different
they
ways
you
can read that, as I described earlier. Like, if you
more
were
than
to
two.
Make Groudon or Kyogre into a sandwich, what would they be?
That would be a gross sandwich.
I don't think I'd want to eat that.
That
sandwich.
Is true.
Groudon has, like, armor. And that would be
I don't think
really
that interpretation
crunchy.
Is valid, because you need more prepositions to make that work. If I say, what kind of sandwich would the primals make as a sentence? Then there's the ambiguity I'm speaking of is where are they accessing the materials from? Like, are they going to make the sandwich, like, out of nothing? That's obviously impossible.
That's how they use all their moves. That is how Pokemon works.
So what, does it just use, like, precipice blades and, like, raise some bread out
chicken
of the
ocean?
Yeah,
like, the
exactly.
sandwich just wouldn't exist, like, 80% of the or 20% of the time.
The
they
Pokemon
would just, like,
they
try to make
use
a
it
sandwich,
again.
And then nothing would happen.
How many?
I think
how much
Kyogre and Groudon deny each other sandwiches every time they come out.
And that's why we don't have sandwiches. That's why we can't have nice things.
Here's the issue: Pokemon are not made of matter, but sandwiches are made of matter. So you can't say that Kyogre can.
How are Pokemon not made of matter?
Because if Pokemon are made of matter, if it's Steelix in a Pokeball, it would weigh 4,000 pounds. You wouldn't be able to carry it.
We have
yeah,
matter.
We're
convertible
technology.
Into pure energy.
No, matter has
Pokemon
mass.
Float. Everybody knows that.
E equals MC squared.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree. Because where's the mass
they
going?
They found
the
a method
constant.
For converting Pokemon into pure energy. And somehow they've contained that volume of energy, which is incredibly large, in a Pokeball.